Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. Just FYI, and we should have probably added this tag on to the other episodes as well, but we do go into spoilers here and there, so if you do want to avoid that, start at one of our previous episodes, play along with that, and come back to this episode once you're caught up. So I know I was saying, Alex, how using the cloud beta on the PlayStation Portal to play this was not ideal at all, and it kept freezing up and getting blurry, but I gotta admit, I actually played all of this episode 3 of Death Stranding on my PlayStation Portal. I didn't use the cloud beta. I just streamed it normally from remote play from my PS5, but it works really well. Obviously, the higher graphical quality of this game deserves a 4K TV with HDR, but at the same time, there's something about the slow hiking and methodical movement in the game that make it a really awesome experience to play through while lying in bed super relaxed.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I've only used my Portal for, I think, I've been playing Legend of Mana on it, so something obviously that's not very graphically intense. But I do the same thing. I use it for the, not the cloud stream, but as you said, yeah, using it straight
the remote
through
play.
Yeah, the remote play through PS5. It all depend obviously on your Wi-Fi, but I have very good Wi-Fi and I have never had any issues with it.
Yeah, same here. So as long as the Wi-Fi, my own Wi-Fi, my PS5 is connected well to it, the portal's connected well to it, it's just streaming from one device to the other, it's really high quality. The, you know, streaming from whatever cloud, from whatever PlayStation servers look like is not the best. And, you know, it's beta. I think they've even released some research that it's not particularly popular or a major requested feature. So who knows next gen whether they continue down that road or not. But at least the remote play works great. Anyway. So jumping into the second half of episode 3 about Fragile, you know, we stopped off last time after finishing the delivery to the Timefall farm, and it wants to bring you back through the required orders back up north, but I actually stopped off and picked up that standard order fetch quest just south of the Timefall farm, and, you know, it was really a very fetch quest. You just go south, grab 6 pieces of, I don't even remember what it was. But when you get back, the reward was an upgrade to my Audra deck that lets you scan for people like mules a bit better. So did you do that quest? Did you get the same upgrade from some other side quest?
No, I didn't. I didn't do a fetch quest from the Timefall Farmers. I finished the Timefall Farmers and then I drove straight back to the Distro Center.
Right.
South of Lake City.
Part of my curiosity was, is or do the side quests give the same rewards from the same people no matter what, or do you get certain upgrades from various different providers? And I think they're locked into the actual person you're talking to, so there are probably some pretty cool upgrades to things that are locked behind those side quest deliveries that you're not so interested in going up into the mountains or through rocky terrain to get to. Maybe I'll miss out on them, but we'll see. The other thing I noticed too is that when you take on an urgent order, if you go into your private room to rest or try to, it'll make you fail the order. So I'm really glad that they put a warning message about that when you're selecting private room rather than just letting you fail it, because the rest obviously skips through time quite a bit when he takes a nap and it would cancel that order out.
Okay, that's something I haven't experienced yet. Usually for the few urgent orders I've done, I've just gone straight to the place and haven't decided to hit a private room. But
yeah,
that
typically
is good to
whenever I'm at one of the distribution centers, I stop in at the desk, I check the orders, I pick up the orders, and then I do the rest thing to, you know, re-up on my energy drinks for more stamina, or, you know, just kind of see what's going on down there. And but yeah, the urgent order tried to cancel out, so maybe I'll reverse the order from now on. So following on, you basically have to check in with the junk dealer. He is super distrustful of you, Bridges, and especially Fragile, thinking that you all had a part in why the terrorists attacked South Knot and someone important to him was killed. So after you leave the junk dealer, you get an email from him saying it would make him trust you more if you helped him dispose of his, well, junk that's in his yard into the crater lake that's down south. Mind you, this is just an email. There's no required or standard order for it, but I did notice that pile of junk when I arrived at this place in the first place. Anyway, I loaded it all up in the floating carrier and brought it to the lake, and it tells you that you can hit square when you have something in your hand to swing your arm in front of you. and release the carrying button, L2 or R2, and it launches the cargo. So it's kind of more realistic than many games in that you don't just pull up a trajectory kind of hologram like in most games for grenades and things like that. In that moment, the tip also says that Sam's right arm is stronger, so it can throw farther. So based on that, when we have to deliver the hourglass to the woman, I remembered that detail and decided to carry the fragile cargo in my right hand. But then, of course, you cross through Timefall and BT territory and definitely did not feel like using the claw grip on my controller with my index and middle finger. So I swapped hands to the left so I could use the Audra deck at the same time.
Huh. Yeah. So as we just talked about, you just talked about the components or the old, like the Kyrelium infected components or junk that you threw in the Query Lake. I did that a little later. I did it after we delivered the first stuff for him, and then we get the next order, which was collecting some old components from him down sort of towards Crater Lake, but a little bit, I guess I'll say,
a little bit west of it, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, west that was in BT territory, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, that was in BT territory.
Basically. Yeah.
But just going back to, yeah, as I said, I did took the contaminated components a little later, but yeah, I just picked them all up on my back and loaded on my trike as well and just drove down. Actually, I think I might have taken two trips. I picked up as many as I could the first time, went, just drove down. Okay, it goes through a slight BT territory, but there weren't really any around. I was able to just drive straight up to the edge of the lake. And then, as you said, just chuck them in, drive back, get the last ones, and then chuck those in. And then, yeah, because it's just an email and then just basically getting an email thing saying, thanks for taking care of all that.
Yeah, he's clearly not a very social kind of guy. But, you know, you get some information. Fragile finds some information around the woman he think was killed in the explosion. And so he finds out that maybe the person is alive. He gives you the chiral hourglass, and it's a fragile item, so he gives it to you to deliver. It was also nice that he gave you the speed skeleton, so you don't have as much carry capacity, but sprinting is so much faster.
Yeah, so I got the hourglass. I held it in my right hand. I just did right hand all the way, and I sprinted for some of it. I went a little bit slow in the BT areas. I was able to sneak around without having to like put the package down using a hematic grenade or anything. I was able to sneak around. I also didn't realize
stealth is improving.
Yeah, my stealth is improving. I didn't realize at first though, because like when you first get the order, it says like to hold it. I didn't realize you actually have to hold either like for PlayStation like R2 or L2, like hold it consistently. I thought it was just like you press it once and he holds it in his hand. So like I'd walk a few steps, he'd put it down. I'm like, why are you putting it down? Like it's not heavy.
Nope. Yep. That's the way it functions in this, which is, you know, it's realistic. You got to hold something, you got to hold it.
Yeah. So you don't have that function anymore, which is, yeah, really cool. So yeah, I just held it. I stealthed around a little bit. And then I think once I got over a hill and I could see the chiral artist, like their location off in the distance, then I just started to sprint all the way down. And yeah, the skeleton definitely was quite a lot faster.
Right. I sprinted to the BT area, stealth through it, and then sprinted again the rest of the way. I will say, though, that after I delivered it, of course, there's a bunch of standard orders you can pick up from the Chiral Artist place and bring it to other areas. So I immediately took off the speed skeleton and put the power skeleton back on and haven't put the speed skeleton back on since. Unless there's a real reason to do it, I don't think I'm going to be using it much.
Yeah, I haven't. I used it for that, and I actually used it for after we drop off the hourglass for the next order, which was we dropping it off, and then the one after that is basically taking the chiral artist back to the junk dealer, because we found out after like a little bit, not really, sort of a cutscene, but more just through holograms, and it comes out that she is alive. She's then really the love of his life and she still loves him. She didn't know he was still alive. Her mom kept telling her that he wasn't alive, if I remember rightly. I think that's what she was saying.
Right. She wasn't a fan of that guy, as it seems.
Yeah. Yeah. Her mom, who I guess really wasn't her mom. She kind of took her in.
Right.
Yeah. Was not a big fan of the guy. And then you're tasked to bring her back. she becomes your cargo.
Yeah, in a body bag with the hood open to not get Timefall, which was
Timefall on her.
Smart, so, but very interesting that that's the only way to transport someone that's not prepared.
Yeah, and I did this. So when you have that, though, I still had quite a few parts on my back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I put everything into like a, not like, I had a few things, not a whole bunch, but I put quite a few things into a private locker there.
No, and I was using the floating carrier. I'm not leaving anything behind. I always have a floating carrier with me.
Smart. I haven't used them since the task of moving the stuff to create a safe house. I haven't used a floating carrier. I have one on me.
They're useful.
Yeah. I should use them more. So I left a few things behind. Nothing like massive, but I haven't gone back because, again, it's sort of like, it's a part. It's an area for me now. It's like, I know I'm going to go through BTs, or it's a little bit more difficult. And I'm like,
right.
If I don't have an easier way or route right now through it, like, I'm not gonna take my time to go back there. Luckily, it wasn't. I think I left one thing of hematic grenades, maybe one Bola gun, but these were also ones that had been on my back for a while and through Timefalls had quite a bit of damage to them. So, yeah, I was like, I leave these here and I'll take the Chiral Artist back to the Junker.
So, funny story here. When the Chiral Artist mother comes up on the hologram, I didn't see the name right away that says mother. So, I thought it was the girl he was talking about, and we had seen in recordings before talking to him. Because every time you talk to him, it was showing a little loop video of her. And while the mom was talking to me, I was theorizing why she looked so much older and different, expecting that she had maybe gotten caught in Timefall without protection for a while and ended up rapidly aging, and was thinking, damn, that's going to be a rough reunion for them. Kind of like Matthew McConaughey's character in Interstellar. But it turns out it was the mom's. You end up going into a true escort mission that bringing her back to the junk dealer. But damn, it was pretty funny to make that realization.
So my first theory was when we first meet the Junker and he's all pissed off at Fragile and Bridges and everything. And because he's the reason he's dead. I kept thinking, oh, it's his daughter. Oh. Poor guy and all that, and then you're like, oh, she's alive somewhere, like Fragile, but no, she's alive over here. But I was like, oh, well, cool, we'll get his daughter or whatever, we'll bring him or her to him, and then we get to her and we kind of find out, oh no, that's not his daughter, that's his love instead. I was like, oh, okay, well, I was totally off on that one. It's the girl he loves. So yeah, but we take her, have her in a body bag, but yeah, with her face uncovered but with a hood over. Since we have to go back through Timefall and BTs, I used the speed skeleton, basically ran back up the hill, got into the BT area, that stealthed a bit, but took out a few of them with hematic grenades, since my hands were free now, and then just sprinted back down to the junk dealer. And
so you reunite them and have this really heartfelt moment that you're kind of just awkwardly third wheeling for a little bit. And there's a marriage proposal. He accepts it. And it's, you know, definitely weird to see real people in this world that aren't mules, since all the other people that we talk to and take quests from are just the holograms of them from inside their bunkers. So the fact that she came out and then you arrive and drop her off and he comes out of his bunker is kind of like that extra level of connection that you don't get in most of this game.
Yeah, that was something that it like slightly threw me off guard. I don't know why I didn't think of it, but when she comes out of her bunker, like you see them all on holograms, mm-hmm. and then they literally come out of the bunker door that's right there, thinking to myself, whoa, she's just right there. Seeing the holograms, I think they're so far away. Like they're not just right behind that door for some reason, but they are. They're just right there in that shelter.
They're probably a bit like down some stairs or whatever, but they're definitely mm-hmm. right by it. Yeah, they have access to come outside whatever they want, but which I ended up seeing also because once you hit 5 stars with some preppers, they end up popping out as well.
Yeah, I noticed that, yes. When you get 5 stars with a couple of the preppers, or I guess some of the other people too, I don't think it matters of who, but if you get 5 stars with them, you get a little 5-star badge that goes on your uniform, but also it then allows you to use their place as a place for rest.
Right, exactly. You can use them as a private room,
which is quite nice. Which I
hadn't done after unlocking it, but it's really nice because you get access to all of your stuff, obviously, without having to fast travel or do anything else. And it's definitely, you know, it's interesting to see these people or see the Junker and the artist in person, because otherwise, aside from that very early stage, when you're first taking on this main mission, you only really see Fragile in person, and I guess Higgs counts too in that moment. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool. You are indeed connecting people.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, because there's not everybody mainly is just holograms. There's not many actual people that you're seeing right out.
And something else that's interesting too. So I, as I said, I typically when I have access to one, I will use the private room just to rest up, grab a restock of energy drinks. So I did a rest in a private room or someone's online safe house, and I woke up and had a crazy, creepy daydream thing where the door to my room opened with weird, monstrous noises outside, walked towards the door and saw upside down crabs, fish swimming around as if I was underwater, but it was all black and white. So I immediately knew something was up. And then a whale swooped by and Sam woke up. So I think we must be getting closer to a beach or something in our subconscious. Did you see that scene?
I have. So this is something we haven't talked about, but I could have talked about it in the last couple episodes. Because I noticed every time you go to a private room, usually coming out, and I'm sure you had them, get sometimes little cutscenes that show us. When you
re-hook the BB.
Yeah, when you re-hook the BB and you see Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
And it's his BB. Basically, right. It was like him and you see his wife who is in a pod, but you keep getting little snippets of how it started and where it's going to go to. Like, I think there was like a Christmas one. He comes and goes, ho, ho, ho. Yes. And had a few others where he's like a little bit more angry at like sort of the wife's and BB and himself. And yeah.
One where he comes back with a gun and says, I'm not fighting anymore. There was one where he had gotten Timefall in his eyes, he said. So it's really, you know, it's snippets of the BB's memories in moments when Mads Mikkelsen's character, which at this point we didn't know the name of or maybe still don't, is showing up. And obviously there's the connection. He's the dad or the foster dad or wherever. And I think, you know, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but that's obviously who the focus is of this next chapter because of that intro cutscene and that the episode switch over. But we'll get to that in a sec.
I was going to say, go back to the private room thing. Hey, I had that whale one, that weird thing. Another one I had, which was I woke up with Sam and he looks over and there's someone in his shower.
Yes. Okay. That was the other one I was going to mention too. So I think so basically
I have the one in the shower and like goes, I'm not going to lie, I jumped. It was definitely a jump scare.
They forced in a jump scare for sure.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, it's a dark, shadowy, it's definitely not fragile like it was the last time. Mm-hmm. I was expecting a jump scare. I didn't know when exactly it was going to happen, but it was a guarantee.
Yeah, it definitely was.
It's definitely, so resting in your private room is getting progressively creepier, and it's when you wake up from a nap. It's not leaving the room. It's these separate things that are not related to Mads' character. So I'm going to just assume there are going to be more of them. And I'm curious also,
yeah, I'm sure there will be.
If those are missable in any way, because I don't know that, at least I always just go to it, but I don't know that it's required to enter your private room all that frequently, unless they make you before you can pick up an order.
Yeah. So the only reason I think, I don't know about those ones, but the Mads Mikkelsen cutscenes are maybe not missable. It's because the Christmas one, I've had twice coming out of the private room.
Gotten it twice?
I've gotten it twice. I've got the same cutscene. The
exact same cutscene. Interesting.
Twice.
Okay. So it doesn't process that it's already happened.
Yeah. I'm not really sure why. It definitely was the same. It was the Christmas one. He comes in saying, ho, ho, ho. He does the same exact stuff. Champagne. Yeah. So I have had that one twice, but that's it. But it was twice, as in it was quite a bit apart. I had another two between it. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why, but yeah.
I'm very intrigued on what's going on there. And especially with the shadow figure that's not a BT, but not a zombie, but who knows. Mm-hmm. Some other just random notes you pick up at some point or receive at some point, the anti-BT gun. Which is amazing. Literally, it's just a pistol that shoots blood.
I haven't used it.
It's worth it. A couple shot or two and they're gone. It's basically just like throwing a hematic grenade straight at them. You can charge it, so you get to choose how much blood you shoot. You can hold on to R2. The other weapon that we picked up at some point was the stun grenade, which I have not used yet.
I haven't used it either. The stun, I do have it, but I haven't used the stun grenade yet on mules.
It's cool in world. It makes sense why they have separate weapons for BTs versus humans. There's really no way to get around it, so I wouldn't have even suggestions, but it takes up cargo to carry all these different weapons, so you end up carrying less cargo, or you just hope that you predict the situation well and don't carry the blood weapons or don't carry the regular ones. But I mean, fortunately, with a power skeleton, you don't have to make that decision as frequently. But I'd still like the ability to hook them onto a weapon rack or something instead.
I mean, I find myself usually, before I pick any orders, leaving right. with probably, was it 5? Because I think the matic grenades are 5 each. So usually between 4 to 5 of those, 2 to 3 Bola guns, either level 1 or 2 level 2s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of, but man, you really are Sam Wick. I take one Bola gun because it has 14 rounds, I think. So I have.
And the level 2, I think, has 20-something rounds. So I don't, maybe 25. I don't need
Well, you don't need that many bullet guns, man.
I know, because I noticed then, as you said, I'll do the orders or I'll go through Timefall, and like one of my bullet guns was at 80% damage.
Yeah, so, yeah, that'll happen too.
Yeah, so then we'll get to a point in the story. Like with mules, I made sure I used that gun. So I just used it up because I was like, sure. Yeah, so I don't lose it.
Right. And so going back to the distribution center south of Lake Knot, I brought a ton of cargo for them from both the chiral artist and the junk dealer. I unlocked the backpack customization, trike colors, and the chiral bridge option all at the same time because of those deliveries. So that chiral bridge is a sweet little mini bridge that you can make with a PCC level 2, and it's very skinny. So you can get the trike over, but you can't get the truck over. And you can adjust the angle also. It's like basically a mini rainbow that you can use as a bridge. So that's good also for rivers if you don't know if it's lighter than the regular ladder, but an alternative is good to have. I also got access to the truck at that point, which is super slow, but you can carry a bunch of cargo, which I'll get to in a bit.
I did the same. I got the backpack customization, a couple extra trike colors.
Did you like me immediately go into your private room to set up the backpack? I thought it was just going to be visually, but you can attach extra batteries and grenade pouches. So it's unfortunately only one grenade per pouch, which I realized after I left the room. So I went right back and made more. I think I have 5 grenade pouches and a battery and some patches.
I think I did. Yes, I did. I did. I think just grenades. I don't know if I did a battery. I'm trying to think of what I even used the battery for.
The battery powers all your electronic stuff. So your power suit,
your power skeleton.
I don't know that it actually truly helps with the trike, but it's supposedly any battery that you have is a shared battery.
Okay. Yeah, I might have to go back in and just, I think, throw one on. But mainly I just did grenades so I could hold a few more there. And then took some patches and put some patches on it as well that I had unlocked from around. Yeah, that was my customization of my backpack.
While I was there, I also got an email. I learned from this email from the Timefall farmer that the porter type of beer is named like that because it was popular with couriers who ran cargo up and down the Thames in the 1700s. That's the kind of thing I didn't think I'd learn from a game like this. And I'm a big fan of porter beers, so now it has extra meaning to me, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. I must have missed that email. I don't think I've read that email yet. I think I have a couple emails and interviews that I need to go through and read.
Yeah, I typically wait for a handful of them to pile up before I read them, but then I go through them all. And you get some likes out of them sometimes, other pieces like that. So basically, at this point, I just went and just shuttled materials from the South Distribution Center back and forth to create more sections of road. I spent probably an hour trying to build out road by going in all directions using the trike. I also used the truck. It's super satisfying, funny enough, to put the finishing materials into it and then be able to just fly.
I am the exact same as you. After we dropped back the bunch of stuff to the distro center, before I started up any of the other required orders, I just started grabbing materials, right, making roads that were close to me.
And at this point, I knew there was only a required order or two left to finish out the episode. And at that point, I was just seeing all these pieces of road that were pretty close to done there that I could get across. And I spent an entire playing session thinking I was going to at least do one of the required orders and just did all road building and some deliveries, which is not something I typically do unless it's really lore expanding a side quest. So, hey, Death Stranding has me hooked too.
Doing the roads, the roads are so helpful.
It makes a major difference.
It makes
the
a
roads absolutely
difference.
are worth doing it. It just sucks when you run out of the community materials, since they're mostly all ceramic heavy and metal heavy. So you run out.
Yeah,
they
I do.
Require so much.
Yeah, they do. Some of them require quite a lot. Chiral crystals, if they require, it's not too hard because you can find they're everywhere. I mean, I'll just stop and I'm just driving around on the truck, on the trike or in the truck or whatever, just scanning and seeing if I can see, like, here's 40 metals, here's 100 metals, here's 100 whatever ceramics and all that, and just getting it. And then I have realized, as we said, when we get some of the preppers up to level 5, your inventory increases quite a bit.
Right.
So
right, exactly.
I'm able to take, I don't take a whole bunch out, but I take some out. Okay, I can use this. And then, okay, that gets me, now I'm only about 300 away of ceramics. I can probably find that around here. Or, and as we said, since it's online, people's safe houses or post boxes, I search through all those. People
they also have goods. Okay, I will do that now.
If you go to a shared locker of a safe house or something, you can usually find some ceramics or just some materials you need for the bridges or post boxes. You can usually find them. And then if you're in the mule camps too, mules carry some. So mm-hmm. there are times where I'll try and sneak up or take out a mule, get one with a bowler gun just to be able to be like, oh, you got 100 medals on you. Thank you. Can I help?
And
my roads built. I have roads built all the way from Lake Knot City all the way down to the distribution center.
Yeah, I have mine one section past that, but then the next two sections I put materials into and no one's contributed anything to it.
Yeah, I have one past it as well. It goes down into
the riverbed area.
The riverbed area, and then I put some into the next ones.
Yeah, I put it exactly. I keep hoping I'll log back on and there will be a completed road there, but it's nowhere near still. So I guess I'm gonna just do it all myself.
And yeah, same here.
I don't remember which open world game it is where, you know, in a lot of these open world games that include materials gathering for crafting, that you can, when riding on a horse, lean over and pick up materials without getting off the horse. I wish something like that existed here, because even just for the metals and all that, I can understand getting off because it's a large piece of cargo. But for the chiral crystals, I wish you could just lean over off your trike and grab the chiral crystals. You can?
You can. Yeah, you can. You have to literally like stop next to it and it'll say pick up and then hold it.
I've been like slowly driving by, but I guess I should just stop.
You have to hold square, because if you just press tap it, you'll get off. But if it'll say pick up and hold the whole square and you'll pick him up.
Okay.
So
okay,
I will do that then. It would be nice though if you could do it with metals and other things as well.
Yeah, at least those material crafting material cargo pieces, not all of them, which I would understand. So last time you mentioned that you ran into a hologram of Conan O'Brien, and we both met him in this. He is the cosplayer's husband. It's so funny seeing him in that otter hat cracking bad dad jokes.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I had it wrong. I thought it was like seeing the hologram, I thought it was like a polar bear hat. It was kind of hard to tell, but yeah, it's a little cutely made otter hat that his wife has made.
It's so Conan. He gives it to you. I haven't actually tried it, but supposedly it lets you swim. It says it'll turn you into an otter. So I wonder what that really means. Does it fully transform your character model? Maybe, maybe not, but supposedly it helps with swimming. So maybe that prevents slipping and getting swept up in streams and rivers and whatnot, but we'll have to try it. Have you tried that?
I haven't tried it yet. I need to put it on. I actually don't know how you put it. I'm assuming it's...
I think it's the same way that you put on your hat. I don't know if
you've it's used in the that hat menu.
And sunglasses much. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to... Yeah, I've been wanting to just throw it on and try it, so I will. But just seeing him was so funny.
Yeah, it was great. That was another part of my side quest distraction. He's a little bit out of the way. He's not that bad. It's just down in that canyon, but I'll probably try to get that one up to 5 just to see what else comes out of it, the conversations.
Yeah, it was a little bit annoying, but with the truck, because I think that's where we get the truck. I think it was for taking that stuff. That's where it unlocked it, because you go over all those rocks. Mm. It wasn't too bad in the truck because you can jump it. It goes over pretty easily.
I didn't drive the truck there, but I did set up multiple ropes to climb down from that main cliff.
Oh, I took the truck. I just took a truck, and it made it quite a bit easier to definitely go
over to that.
But I'm kind of hoping to continue some roads, and maybe I can get some roads closer to it.
Yeah, really, the roads helps quite a bit. So in the order to retrieve the stolen sticky guns, and bring them back to Lake Knot. I bullied, I fist fought, I knocked a bunch of guys out by swinging cargo at them, destroying my own cargo, and moved on in one of their stolen trucks to find a second set of three guns. So I was in their truck, cruising along, and got to their main sort of encampment. And as I reached the area and scanned, they were all running at me, but one of the sticky gun carriers was by himself. So I started just driving straight at him, and he started running away. I actually ended up running over him like you do in GTA. Not sure if that was non-lethal or crater creating in the moment, but I was like, why not? It'll be a quick knockout. But unfortunately, it destroyed that sticky gun. So I only had five intact ones, and the sixth one was destroyed, and I got an A grade for that. So shame on me.
Oh, no, mine was different. I mean, I used my bola gun. My bola gun was the main source of it because I had bola gun level 2 that was 80% damage. So I just took I took the trike over and kind of drove into their camp, but just sort of around the edge. And then I ran in. I was able to stealth on who was kind of by himself. And then I had got pinged and a whole bunch ran at me. And I just was bola gunning, running, bola gunning, and just then knocking them out when I had a chance and was able. And then I pick up the six sticky guns, threw them on the back of my trike, and then just took off.
Smart. That was, I enjoyed my approach until I lost one of the guns to damage. But oh well. Mama, when she described the sticky gun in the first place, said something about it auto targets an item, it can grab it, you can even do it from stealth, and I was planning on using it and trying it out. She even said something about it might have some interesting, unique applications that you're not expecting. So when I heard that, I thought, okay, can I use this to Spider-Man myself across an area or something like that if I attach it to a building or a structure of some sort? I haven't had a chance to try it yet, but I still want to try that out because it sounds like it's more than just stealing cargo.
Yeah, I haven't tried it out in the real game. My first thought when she said that was, oh, can I use that to shoot a mule and take his legs out from underneath him? If I shot him or something and it just like, oh, it brings him closer to you and you can punch him or something. But I actually did when I got it. I went to the firing range and tried it out. I did the little trial, the time trial at the firing range with the sticky gun. And it's pretty cool. It definitely makes retrieving stuff that might be a little bit further away easier. I'm assuming there will be upgrades to it because it doesn't have a great distance.
Okay.
At this time.
Close.
And I feel like there must be like ways to, because other guns right now like have level 2s and whatever. Right. So I'm assuming like the higher the level is, the more distance the gun can, like the further it can shoot.
Sure.
But yeah, it was basically you'd aim on, it'll come up orange and you'll shoot, you'll pick it up. And if you're holding, you pick it up. If you press triangle at the right time, you can throw it straight on your back. Not even, it won't drop in front of you. You can literally, it'll stick it, it'll bring it to you, and then boom, go right onto your back.
Okay, so
which makes it really nice. It doesn't like,
nice.
It's not like you don't have that, it saves a second or two, which can be very important.
Very useful in a high stress scenario, yeah.
Yeah, but I just did the time trial just to try it out, and I'll probably use it for ones where, I don't want to jump down into, if it's within range, I don't have to jump down into a canyon or something like that.
It seems like the type of thing that's for very specific scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
So after that, you get into Lake Knot and you pick up some orders. Obviously, this is where the final order of the episode comes in. And I immediately thought, wait a minute. The machine's not working. Someone's coming out to deliver it. I recognized Troy Baker's face and said, was that Higgs in disguise in a Bridges suit bringing you a package that can't be processed? And then you open up the menu and see that it's a thermonuclear weapon. Yeah, that's not suspicious at all.
Yeah, the second it's like, order can't be processed, machine down, system maintenance. And, oh, this isn't good. And my first thought was, I didn't think someone was just going to come out. It's Higgs undercover, dropping stuff. I was like, oh no, like what's about to attack me in here? Am I going to have to run for my life right now? I was like, Sam, do you not really recognize this guy?
I guess he was talking in a funny voice. He didn't have his mask on. Yeah. And then later you have the sort of realization and he puts the mask on in the daydream scenario and he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. You pick it up. So yeah, you pick up the thermonuclear device and the order. It's urgent and all that. And tells you, oh, Fragile's not available right now. She's at the distro center south, you should have her look at it.
Right.
Right. For her, have her look at this package. Because it says on there, if you take this within, I think it shows on the map too, there's like red barrier around. If you take it anywhere within this range of South Moss City, it's going to blow.
Right. It also said if you remove it from Sam's body.
Or remove it from Sam, it starts going off.
So
I just threw it on my back, got on the trike.
You do what you got to do.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, if you don't, you can still do side quests during this. So I picked up a bunch of stuff that was at that Lake Knot City and delivered it to the craftsman. So here's an interesting note. You got to watch out when you're driving a truck not to pull too sharp of a turn. I almost rolled it with all my main order cargo in it, but managed to stop and hit the brake right on time for it to basically balance diagonally on two wheels for a few seconds and then come back down normally. So watch out for that. I think it's better to use the drifting option than sharp turning without that.
Yeah, I've had it a couple times where, again, I've almost tipped it, but I've got it on the two wheels and I'm then kind of just hit the brake or slow it down and be like, okay, please go back onto four.
Yeah.
Do not tip over.
In that moment, I also is when I got the craftsman to 5 stars and you unlock the tall neck hologram from Horizon. So I set that up with expecting it to be a miniature tall neck, and no, it was a full size tall neck. That was
It's a full size. It's really cool.
I put one by the road so I can see it whenever I drive by.
That's cool. I still need to, I need to create. I haven't created one.
A hologram. You don't need to create. You can, as long as it's been created and already upgraded to allow for customization, you can use anyone else's online sort of spots, basically, and you can hit customize in the menu and make your own, like choose which hologram and music you want to be there.
Oh, okay. Okay, good to know.
So someone else will create something, you can just go up edit theirs instead of building one from scratch. That's not necessary. Oh, okay.
Well, then I will, next time when I get on, spend some time doing that. Put some holograms I want to see.
And so, obviously you go and you meet Fragile and she says, oh, this is a nuke and you can throw it into that black tar crater lake, and you get there and you chuck it in and you save the day for the moment. Fragile teleports in and you see the flashback of what actually happened to her, and damn, Higgs was terrible to her. Troy Baker is clearly having a hell of a great time playing the villain here.
Yeah, he is. He's quite menacing and pretty ruthless towards her.
Yeah, so that history, I'm sure there will be an episode at some point about him specifically and his backstory, because there's clearly much more here that we haven't heard yet.
Yeah, there is. I mean, for that, it was a great cutscene to see.
Yes.
Go back. So it's like, he basically gives her the option of save the town.
Save the city or save your skin. Yeah.
Yeah. Save your city or save the skin. And he basically strips her down to almost naked. It's time fall. It's raining. And she runs out to Crater Lake to, again, it's another nuke, to throw a nuke
right
in there. And so it makes me wonder then if the suit she wears has more properties to it. Because, like, as you see on the shoulder pads, like, I know it's like the time fall. Like,
right.
If it's using what her body, because her body's probably obviously, her all face was covered.
Shriveled up and old and whatnot.
But her, covered her, body's
her face on purpose.
Yeah.
Right.
But her body is probably way older and more shriveled than what she actually looks like.
So that umbrella that she has is pretty useful.
Yeah.
So,
it was a good cutscene.
Right. And the next, after she zips away, all you really got to do is drive around to finish the order at South Knot City. And it kind of just cuts away from there. It tells you, oh, there's a storm coming, a chiral storm coming. Go check it out. And you step outside and there's basically a Wizard of Oz tornado of chiral weather. And that's when we move on to the next episode.
There's like flying whales and other sea creatures, like all
literally.
Yeah, all being blown about. And then, you get blown about, and then you land in what looks to be like a swamp area.
Type swamp.
A little swamp area. And
so obviously we'll touch on everything related to that, because that is the very beginning of episode 4. We'll touch on that next time. But it opens even with a cutscene of Mads Mikkelsen's character being attached to some soldiers and being covered in tar. And I guess we got to come up with something at some point of what that really means, because he seemed normal the last time we saw him in the flashback from the BB.
But no, he's not. He comes basically out of the tar they pull him out of. It looks like he's like crying tar. It's, yeah. I was like,
yeah, I think it's about time to start coming up with some theories, like what the hell is going on. He did mention in the last scene through BB's eyes that he got Timefall in his eyes. Now, is that the type of infection that took over his whole body eventually? Is that something that's just, it happened for a moment, or he became blind, or he gave in and decided to become kind of a Higgs type character who can control things? What do you think?
I don't know. I can think many things, but it's just with Kojima, it could go any way. I mean, when he came out of all the tar with the, basically they're soldier BTs is what they are. They're full combat gear, helmets, everything, rifles.
Guns.
Yeah. And is this guy, is he as strong as he, does he have all those powers as well?
Right. Is he a zombie controlled by the BTs? Is he a half there, half with it? Or is he the one in control? It seems like he's probably the commander, the one in control, but he wasn't holding any weapons. He was basically naked, but covered in the BT goo.
Yeah, he definitely seemed like the one in control. I will also say, in the cutscene previous, there's a very quick comment from Higgs of him saying, like, I think her, like Fragile, something, oh, they could have worked together. He's like, oh no, now I'm working with someone else who appreciates me, or something, like, it was something along those lines.
You know, and what?
He comes up then, in that, right as you start the next chapter, and he comes out of the tower. I'm like, is this the guy? It was a quick thought in my head.
Right.
Are these guys working with each other?
Like, they could be working with each other. And he did say he was done fighting, so maybe that means he's ready to... I mean, I thought that was, okay, he's going to become a pacifist, but maybe some circumstances led him the other direction, and he's actually thinking, I should be the one in control.
Maybe
yeah. Higgs gave him that opportunity. Maybe that's what it is.
I mean, we'll find out.
I also got an email from someone at some point that said, that was basically just retelling the story of King Midas from mythology, and, you know, the touching things, turning them into gold, and that someone was doing that with chiral matter. And I wonder if they're talking about Higgs, maybe they're talking about Mads Mikkelsen's character, based on that ability to manipulate gold or manipulate the chiral crystals.
There's so much speculation I have, and I'm so
definitely more questions than answers right now. And
so many
questions.
I'm so excited to just get back into it now and play and start episode 4 and see where that goes now and continue on with the story.
The other thing that obviously I was expecting after the previous episode, expecting a boss fight right there, which maybe this episode 4 is the boss fight in some form, but they give you access to a handgun and a semi-automatic gun, or an automatic gun, that are real bullet guns, which, this is a world where you're not supposed to kill anyone because it creates an explosion. So are we going to be truly killing people at this point if we have access to those weapons? Maybe it's for this weird war that we've been plunged into.
Yeah, we're basically, I mean, where it ends in the cutscene, it's a battlefield.
Yeah, it's very clearly, a battlefield. And we have access, we have two real guns attached to us. I think we're going to get into a true firefight, which hasn't happened yet.
No, it's going to be, hopefully just, I don't want to void out.
Don't want to void out.
It's going to be interesting to see. I may not be able to Sam Wick this. This may have to be more stealthy. So.
Okay. So yeah, I will obviously dig in further. There are a couple other just totally off random notes that I had as well, just around gameplay and things like that. So if you hit the trackpad when you're not near something that you can give a like to, Sam calls out and says something, yells it basically. Have you tried that? Have you ever gotten a response? I tried it on two random porters that I saw out in the field, and they didn't say anything. They just came and stretched their arm out and tried to give me something, which you can pick up by going and hitting R2 or L2, but they don't respond.
Oh, I did. I got a response because I got a trophy. Have Sam, whatever it is, Sam talks and someone answers back, I think it's the trophy for PlayStation.
I've been trying to reach to people and they don't say anything. What's up with that?
Yeah, I did have, I think someone was like, one of them waved at me and I waved hello there, and then they were like hi, and then that was it. I also got another part of this chapter, and I'm because I'll try and get, as I said, I sometimes like the trophy hunt of things I can get. I won't do it for all things if I know I really can't, or if it's going to take more time than I need to. But one trophy I got, I don't even know how I got this. I guess I helped a porter. There's a trophy for helping a porter through a mule infested area.
I did get that one too.
And I was like, how did I do that? Is it because I guess right. I had taken him out maybe, and he walked through and that was it. I just didn't even see him walk. I didn't escort a porter. I was just doing my own stuff. And he must have just been walking up towards an elder or to one of the preppers. And I guess I got it. But yeah.
Hey, I mean, unintended help still counts, I suppose.
I'll take it.
I mean, you're helping the world connect. You're helping the porters cross with the mules.
So what you say, though, so you can take some of the, you can take the stuff off the porters.
You can, they basically, the couple times that I've tried this, yeah, you say, I say something to them, they're, you know, 10, 15 feet away, you say something, they'll grab something off their back, stretch their arm out, and just hold it there in the air, and if you get up quickly enough, you can go and hit R2 or L2 and grab it. So they're just like giving you something, basically. I think one gave me a sticky gun, another one gave me some medals. If you don't get there quick enough, they'll retract their arm and put it back on their back.
Okay. All right. Interesting. It seems
to be completely random. It's not like you can request what you want, but sometimes they're useful.
But still, it's going to be more than likely it'll be helpful. Something that's going to be helpful later on at some point.
Right. If you have the space for it, it's worth checking out.
Yeah. That's a good thing to know if I'm running low on this. I don't have I can't make it or whatever. I can't get there. I see a porter and be like, oh, maybe they'll give me something. Yeah. We can get something good off them. We'll help.
Something else that you probably haven't come across if you've only used the floating carrier a little bit, I guess you can't use ladders or ropes when you're using it. It makes sense because the floating carrier is definitely a horizontal platform and going vertically probably would throw everything off unless they're strapped in. But I figured I'd try it anyway, so FYI, that does not work. The other fun floating carrier thing, I'm assuming you haven't tried sledding on your floating carrier yet.
I haven't. No, I was...
Did you see the tooltip that came up with that?
I was... Where was I? It was after... I had one it seemed to be kind somewhere, of and it spot, said, like, jump on it. And I jumped on it, and I thought, like, you could just then move it with the stick. But it didn't move. It just, like, I kind of just twisted around on it. It's very much, like,
true-to-life sledding. So if you get it onto a slope and jump on it, you kind of barrel down the hill, which is so much fun because it floats and goes over the rocks and everything. And you can semi-steer it, but it has to be empty. Which I'm typically, if I have my floating carrier, is because I am carrying something with it. But that's a good time if you want to give it another shot.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to see. I'm just going to have to try that for fun to see. Have you also, since you've used it more, as I think I stated in a previous episode, Mama said, like, if you go too far, it starts using chiral crystals. Like, have you got to that?
I still haven't noticed the point where I've reduced chiral crystals. I'm not really checking it. Basically, I just use the floating carrier and that's that.
Okay.
Eventually it runs out. I don't know.
It must be a pretty good distance. Like, you'd have to go, if I didn't have a road, or if I walked from Lake Knot all the way to South Distro, I'm sure at that point I'd have to probably use it.
I don't know how quickly it depletes, because, and I suppose I always have a reasonably large amount of chiral crystals on me, but I don't know. The final thing that I kind of wanted to jump into, so I went through, I had obviously 99 plus a while back, but I went through the tips part of the menu to see if it explained anything about the colors of those portions of the star in your porter grade, and it didn't have any information on that, but I did discover a couple interesting nuggets. So the more chiral crystals you're carrying, the less the weight of your cargo slows you down. It's a small percentage, but for every 1,000 cg of chiral crystals, your overall load is a 1 kilogram lower.
So okay, I've never reached 1,000 on myself.
Neither I end up using them, but if you stock up a lot, then you can actually, its anti-gravitational effect is that you can carry more. So that's cool. Also, hand carried cargo doesn't take damage even if you fall.
Okay, that's interesting. Even if you fall.
So basically, I noticed it when he gets into a dead sprint, it basically holds it like a football. And so you tuck it under your rib cage, basically. And I'm assuming that's what happens when you fall. But try it out if you got something fragile. Obviously, the chiral hourglass probably was a good example. And I'm sure there's going to be the pizzas, maybe. will be like that if there are more pizza deliveries, because I know that was
the first pizza one I did. I think I just threw it on my back and just walked the pizza.
Well, you risk it, jeez. A couple other interesting game mechanics that the tips menu showed me was, so walking barefoot or in damaged boots will damage your feet, and continuing to walk like that will actually cause you to lose health. So you'll start bleeding, basically. So it's, that seems like a unique mechanic that's for a game, but it totally fits this because you're switching out your boots when they decline in.
Yeah, I mean, you're walking so much in this game, so. Right.
But yeah, hey, so I guess always have a spare pair of boots.
That's another thing. I always have two spare sets of boots.
Okay. I guess I'm stopping it enough in places to fabricate more that I only carry one on the boot clip and that's it.
I'll go through post boxes and other things. And if I see porter boots, I don't stop at all of them, but sometimes I'll just randomly just take a look in here quickly. And if I see something that's useful, I think I found a Paraskeleton 3-in-1. Which was very useful.
Yeah.
I found another Porter Boots level 2, so I threw those on. And I usually, when my boots get to about 78%, 80% done, I usually then switch out, and then I just, if I still have them on me, I just recycle them at one of the centers.
Okay.
So I never let them usually go below, I don't think I've let them go below 80% or 85% damaged.
Oh, really? I end up winding them down until like 15 and then I did some recycling.
No, I mean I have 85% damage on them. So yeah, so only 15%.
Yeah. Okay, it's the same thing.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
All right. The last tip that I thought was pretty interesting was, so enemy encounters give Sam an adrenaline rush, which gives you faster stamina recovery for a short time. Probably something that doesn't get noticed a ton, but basically you can run a lot more. So I'm assuming that comes into play in the boss fights and mule encounters. That's useful. Not majorly consequential in the way that I play anything, but it's cool to know.
Yeah, that's just a nice useful tip to know.
And that covers all on my end. So episode 4 is quite short, literally a single order that appears mostly meant to move the story along. So we will be playing both episode 4 and also all of episode 5 this week. The specific required orders that you should focus on this week are number 39 from episode 4. And from episode 5, the required orders are 41, 43, 44, and 46. No clue how much time those will take, so if you have the time, enjoy your side questing, and next time we'll get into episodes 6 and 7.
I'm looking forward to, especially here, episode 4. I mean, it seems like it's a short chapter, but I think it's going to be pretty intense and good. I think we're going to learn quite a bit free-wise, I think, here in episode 4, even though it's shorter. I think it's going to be quite fun. Different. I think it's going to be different to what we've had recently so far in the game.
Yeah, nice palate cleanser and then probably back into deliveries.
Yeah, looking forward to jumping into episode four and episode 5.
Sounds good. I'm probably going to jump into episode 4 in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I will be here a little bit later tonight. I definitely plan. I've been having the itch to get back on the game.
Amazing. Thank you so much and chat next week.
If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of Death Stranding and any future games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.